From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, March 23rd, 2010. Each week this podcast looks at news and trends related to all things location. This is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
And this is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
This week we take a look at the state of location-based services in the wake of South by Southwest held in Austin, Texas last weekend, and some announcements that appeared in recent weeks. My contention is that those who offer these services and their users now have location-enabled databases, and both groups are trying to figure out what to do with them to get the most return. The state of LBS coming up after a word from our sponsor.
Manage your field data and immediately share critical business information across your enterprise. For more information, visit www.esri.com/mobile solutions.
Now, I've been poring over the coverage from South by Southwest Interactive and a number of other announcements that were made in the past couple of weeks. And I guess the way I would summarize the South by Southwest coverage, especially about location services, is falling into sort of two camps. The first set of articles is basically saying there's this giant dogfight going on between Foursquare and Gowalla. And those are two of the more popular check-in kinds of services or games, depending on how you want to describe them, that are out there. And it may be that there is a dogfight. But it's my sense that most of the planet doesn't know about this competition, and most of them don't care about it that much. And this just isn't at the level of competition between, say, the Android phones and the iPhones in the tech world. It's just too small a subset yet to really matter across the planet. Now, the second set of articles actually, I think, support my contention about the first set. And the second set of articles really reflect the fact that many folks out there who are not geeky or not location interested are just figuring out what these things are. So there's a whole fleet of articles, many of which were not written by technology columnists, saying, oh, now I understand what location-based services are for. If I go to a conference, I know where which bar my friends are at or which party to go to, and so forth. The other thing that I'll add about the coverage is that despite this flurry of discussion, there really were no big winners or no big huge announcements that came out of South by Southwest. So I guess I'd make a statement that there was no big revolutionary thing that happened that we need to worry about. But I will say that there's a bunch of smaller, sort of more evolutionary things going on that I think are putting us at some kind of milepost in the evolution of location-based social mobile services. So there's really three things I want to talk about this week to sort of highlight where we're at now. Now, the first thing that I noticed in looking over all of the things that have gone on in the last month or so is that instead of there being new services popping up, new Foursquares and new Gowallas, we're seeing a whole new set of things which have to do with aggregation. And I mean that in two ways. One, how can I use, if I'm a user of these services, how can I use one application to post or check in multiple services so I don't have to worry about having Foursquare and Gowalla and Twitter and so forth and having to actually individually post to each of those that I'm at this concert or whatever. The other set of things have to do with aggregating all the people who are doing those check-ins and allowing somebody to have a look at where people are checking in across all of these different services. And a bunch of these have sort of popped up or are in the process of popping up. So, for example, Brightkite is working on something called Check-In, which is not yet available. And it's a single, what they're calling it is a single check-in to rule them all. And the idea is that you check in via check-in, and that's going to push that information to Foursquare and to Brightkite and to hopefully some others, depending on if the APIs are available. And an example from the other side is an app called Vicarious.ly, Vicariously, which is powered by Simple Geo. And what that does is it aggregates check-ins from BlockChalk and Brightkite and Bump Technologies and Flickr and Foursquare and Gowalla and Twitter and puts them all on a Google map. So what I'm suggesting here is we're sort of moving away from the beginnings of this, where there's just a whole bunch of applications that all sort of do the same thing. Now what we're realizing is to make these useful, we've got to aggregate them.
Right. With hindsight being 2020, this is, as you said, I think a milepost, because we've been waiting for some catalyst to come around that helps location-based services become relevant, and relevant to more than just a few. The organization, the company that figures out aggregation is going to have an upper hand in all of this. Unfortunately, for better or worse, I thought that there was some trivialization of what came out of South by Southwest. We were much too focused, they were much too focused on the gaming aspects and less focused on what could be the potential for location-based advertising, which is the real place that people want to get to, with the real money-making things that have been promised for so many years. So whoever figures out aggregation and relates that to location-based advertising will have a leg up.
Just to highlight what you said about, yes, we're reaching this milepost. A number of years ago, in 2005, we were lucky enough to have Tim O'Reilly speak at our Location Intelligence Conference. And his keynote had to do with sort of the rules of Web 2.0. And for me, those really got burned into my brain. And one of those had to do with data being the intel inside. And what O'Reilly said was, if you can own the sort of the phone book of information, you're going to win. And he used examples like Westlaw and the online database for movies and stuff like that. And what he said was, if you can't be that, if you can't be, in our case, NavTech or TeleAtlas or OpenStreetMap, be the organization that organizes the data. And I took that to mean be the organization that aggregates the data. And that's what we're starting to see. And as you point out, the aggregations that I described are much more about sort of the gaming part of it. Let's make it more fun so you don't have to worry about which these games your friends are playing. You can see the results of all of them. Or if you're not sure which one is going to win, you can post your check-in to all of them and reap the benefits, whatever they may be, of being the mayor of something in Foursquare, but the big cheese in Gowalla or whatever they call it.
It's too trivialized, unfortunately. It's the right set of data. It's the wrong application of the data. You know?
Right. And to be fair, South by Southwest, like a number of conferences in the space, aren't really pushing against the how do we make money and how do we get useful data out of this. That's just not their main focus.
Right.
But watching how it evolves in this sort of social game space is very valuable. We're learning a lot about privacy and to which applications people are drawn, and it's a great experimental kind of embryonic pool that we have to watch to see how it grows so that we can take advantage of it. Let's move on to that application from Skyhook and Simple Geo. And the idea here is that what I just suggested is that there's all kinds of databases out there, and there are tools so that you can post too many of them at once or to aggregate the results of people who are posting. And that's all well and good, except that you can't really get down to collecting all of that information in some meaningful way unless you can get to the core of how that information is gathered. And there's one company that can do that, and that's Skyhook. And that's because it powers all kinds of different check-in kinds of things, formal and informal, including things like, where is my laptop right now, which is a relationship between you and Skyhook and doesn't have anything to do with Foursquare or Gowalla or anybody else. So Skyhook has been collecting data for 5 years on people basically checking in. And now, in partnership with Simple Geo, is making data available through an API, and it's pretty much real time so that you can know where people are checking in. And this is sort of that first step toward what you're talking about, Joe, of, you know, how can we really take advantage of it? And this offering is called SpotRank.
And their ability to map, you know, via a heat map or some sort of density map of where people are checking in. And this distribution, this map of this distribution, is kind of the ramification of all of the things that we've seen in basic demographic analysis. It almost blows away the things that we're trying to do with simple demographics of where people are. And if we could get to the detail that other types of census demographics give us, age, income, ethnicity, this adds a level of information that, again, I can see, at least put it out there a year or two, that we almost have an additional data set. I don't want to say removes the need for a census data ship, but gives us something more real time, certainly in a way that we haven't quite yet figured out what's there. And when I was looking at some of the articles, I'm going, this is census data. This is almost real time census data that we're getting with these heat maps. So I don't know if anybody's thought that way, but given that this is the year of the census, my mind has been wrapped around what's going to be the outcome of all this data. And then I see this, and it's like, wow, this is something totally that nobody's ever predicted that would happen.
Help me understand how you're saying this is real-time census data, because depending on how much information is shared about each data point, you know, how old the person is, whether they're a girl or a boy, those kinds of things, the data can be really useful or maybe not so useful.
Yeah, and where I'm coming from is from a psychographic point of view, which is, can I characterize that individual because he's at a specific location? And this is really the crux of psychographics, which is, because you are in this zip code, you have the propensity to own a Volvo, read Vogue magazine, and own a house that's worth $350,000. So if you take this and say that this is now real-time information, again, all of the check-ins, say, at 4th and Main, whatever, do those same people have the propensity to visit Starbucks, visit the Allbirds Pain because it's within a block? Those types of assumptions that you would normally use in a very long, detailed psychographic/demographic study, can we now apply that in more real time, such that the owner of the Starbucks or the Allbirds Pain can do more location-based advertising and time-based location-based advertising?
Well, and that the time-based part is interesting. If you look at some of the samples that Skyhook and Simple Geo have put up, you can run a little slider across a couple of days. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, is fascinating. So, and then there's this whole question of, if I know when people are congregating at my Au Bon Pain, do I advertise to them when they are there, or do I advertise when they are not there so that I can fill up my empty store?
Now you're beginning to get to the issue of, what other data can we relate to this real-time data set, which may be traffic. All of the predictive traffic information, real-time, past tense, whatever you want to say, linked to something that we have, a check-in, check-out data. That would be a fantastic database for a marketer to grab a hold of and say, okay, what time should I send a tweet? Should I send a digital coupon?
Right. And that raises a whole nother level of interest to me, which is, what scale are we talking about here? In the New York Times this morning, and actually in another article I read yesterday, two folks made the same point, which is that these services are really terrific, but they're really only valuable, it's only valuable for you to know where your friends are if you're in a very dense, a walkable kind of city. Because you're not going to drive 30 minutes if your friend is, you know, out in the suburbs. But if it's in walking distance from where you live, you might drop down and say hello. So in a sense, we have this scale issue of sort of the walkable community and how we're going to market to that versus the car-based community, as you point out, with traffic and the other challenges that go with that. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this information is used at different scales.
Scale, time, it gets back to the issue of aggregation as well. I think we're still, you know, we're such at this inflection point, it's probably, we're at a point where, well, what's the right question to ask? What's the right data to aggregate?
Right. And I guess I should also point out, just for completeness, we're focusing on the Skyhook Simple Geo solution SpotRank, but Foursquare did announce in the last couple of weeks that it is now providing analytics so that those who participate can know how many people have checked in at their coffee shop or pizza place or whatever. But that's less interesting because it's only one service. The thing that's interesting about SpotRank is that it really is a whole bunch of services plus just individual users who use the Skyhook free apps. So again, it's this combination of aggregation and making this data available through an API for people to start querying and using. So let's jump now to that the next sort of logical step, which is this, how we're going to use this, that a lot of the vision is that where people are going to make money and get some return on investment from these data sets is through location-based advertising. And I just want to sort of raise 2 points to start the discussion of where we're at with that topic. One comes from a study from Telenav, which did a survey of users in December of 2009 of how people search for places on their GPS. So what is it that they look for? Walmart, and then Starbucks, and then Target and Best Buy. And number five, Bank of America. So one of the things that made me think about was, well, does that mean that those businesses don't need to send out location-based ads because people are going to look for them anyway? Would they be, in a sense, wasting their money?
No. That's the short answer. The longer answer is all of those places, Walmart in particular, has a volume-based business model. They want to pour out products. They want to get people in there no matter what time of day, regardless. They want to drive people to those locations because those same locations are not just Walmarts, right? They've got a number of services built in there. They used to have McDonald's, but they've got banking. They've got eye care places.
They've got a grocery store,
hairdresser. They want to drive people into. They want to maximize space. Of course, that is the retailer's nirvana, right? Is they want to maximize the per square footage revenue per square foot. So no, they would not be wasting their money. The other thing that came to mind when I looked at that survey was, oh my gosh, this is a way to predict stock prices. Because if you're driving more people into a particular business at a particular month, I wonder if you could predict stock prices based on the average volume. So anyway, that just popped into my head. So maybe an off the wall way of using the data.
Well, and the flip side of that is, what does that mean for sort of small business local search? I want to find my local grocer, or my local bank, or my local independent coffee shop. People are defaulting to these big brands. That's going to leave these people in the dust.
Yeah. Well, let's take it from a location standpoint, and let's go to a typical retail geographic model, which is retail gravitation. The retail gravitation is you're going to gravitate to the store with the most volume of products, the most parking spaces, the most of anything, right? And, of course, what you see around a Walmart is a built-up area of other retailers. It almost re-emphasizes the fact that these major retailers are going to be a hub. They're going to be an anchor for other small businesses, if you can afford the real estate, right? I mean, Walmart goes into an area and locks up real estate big time, hoping that they'll be able to sell the out parcels to some other type of retailer. In our area, there's a small strip mall near the Super Walmart. There's a Chick-fil-A. There's a bank. And then across the street, there's a Ruby Tuesdays. So it's just a typical retail gravitation.
Right. And the flip side of that, and again, this goes back to scale. I mean, if I look at my city, we've got a Starbucks right in our main square, right across the street from the largest independent coffee shop we've got. So that it may work that way as well.
Well, there you go. A typical retail model, too, for something like a car dealership, right? Why are there so many car dealerships in one area? Well, one person got there first, and the other ones just started to gravitate towards there.
Right, and that's where you go when you want to look at a car. So
exactly.
In that case, if you want coffee, go to Davis Square. You got lots of options.
Yeah, it's all convenience. It's all convenience-based. Yep.
So to get back to location-based advertising, it's worth pointing out that Ulocate, which actually just renamed itself Where, it used to be the company that had the platform called Where, just announced an advertising platform called Where Ads. And not to be outdone, the folks at CloudMade announced an ad platform to use against OpenStreetMap. So there's an awful lot going on in terms of the platforms appearing for advertising. But the one story I want to focus in on was a specific campaign. This was actually run by Placecast, which is another platform for location-based ads. And it was a campaign for the North Face, which is a maker of outdoor gear and such. And it was a it was a really interesting campaign, and I think it's maybe a look into what we're going to see more of. It's a simple opt-in. If you do opt-in, the North Face will send text and promotions, like you'll get a free water bottle if you buy a piece of clothing about new gear for the season, and so forth. Real simple, ideally not annoying. And they're trying to build that out such that once you sign up for this, you can also opt in for information about, say, weather, if you're at the trailhead, and things like that. So they're starting to create this relationship. And I think what's interesting to me about this particular promotion is that it's a one-to-one. It's the end user opting in to work with North Face. It's not the end user opting in to work with Foursquare and the thousands of brands that Foursquare may want to play with. And I think maybe that's what we've learned, is that we don't necessarily want to opt in to everybody, all possible ads that a particular platform might want to offer us. What we really want to do is really narrow it down to the ones that we care about.
Well, and it goes back to the component, the issue of a loyalty program. So whether you're a frequent shopper at a North Face or Starbucks or whatever, you do want to have that one-to-one relationship. And that's, again, the nirvana for marketers, is you want to establish a close association with that buyer and give him additional services, as you mentioned, maybe the weather at the trailhead, certain gear, whatever. And that really, I think I don't think we want, as an individual, we want to have too many associations with too many retailers. We want our selected few, and I think that's where we're getting to with some of these services. So the retailer or the whatever loyalty program you opt into, that gives you some of those little extra services, you're probably going to stick with that.
The flip side of that is, I think what many of those who would want to place an ad, say, through a Foursquare, would want to gather everybody in the geography with the assumption that everybody is going to want to opt into the buy one pizza, get one free offer if they happen to be within a mile of the pizza place. And my sense is that the general response to that has been, no. Don't send me random things when I'm walking down the street. And I think this is an indication that we're going to start having that real one-to-one relationship. And what I think is going to have to happen is that all of these advertising platforms are going to have to make their offerings granular to the level where there's going to be that individual relationship. Now, whether that's going to pay off, I mean, that's a lot of work to provide all those options so that an individual like me, Adina, can have a relationship with an individual brand like Brooks Running Shoes. That's a lot of work. That's an awful lot more than who's in the local area.
Well, if you really want to get down to it, there are so many different parameters that a marketing person is going to have to consider, one of which is the brand and one of which is the location. And in terms of the location, let's just take your example of the square, where there's a number of different coffee shops. So whoever decides to promote the area, the location, to whoever enters that buffer, they could easily say, well, come to our square. Maybe it even could be an economic development person. Come to our area because we have this attraction and these many coffee shops, and there's a bank nearby and there's a gas station nearby. You know what I mean? I mean, you're almost promoting the location over the brand. So the flip side is promote the brand, not the location. Regardless of your location, promote the brand, establish a frequent buyer or loyalty program. So there's a couple of different ways you can slice this. We just haven't figured out what's going to attract the person, the individual, to that particular service.
Right. I think the other thing that might be missing, if we do get to this one-to-one relationship, you've probably noticed this. I know that if I go to the grocery store and I swipe my loyalty card and I buy 4 Danone yogurts, I invariably will get a coupon for one of the competing yogurt brands.
Right.
Right. Well, they know I like yogurt, right?
Yeah.
But if I only opt into Starbucks, I am never going to get that communication from the Starbucks competitor. So somehow they're going to have to get me to opt into that competing brand. And that's another one of those things they're going to have to figure out.
It's all going to hit us. It's coming down the line.
I think everything we've talked about sort of points to the fact that it's getting closer.
Yeah.
But it sure feels like an awful lot of this whole gaming side of it that we discussed is really only in a small box of people, and I would argue very much focused on the city, the walkable kind of area, who want to know where their friends are. Until it gets bigger and nationwide and there's more people playing and we have much more research into how to best take advantage of all of this data, we've still got a ways to go. That's all the time we have for today. Our sponsor, ESRI, would like you to know that the ArcGIS resource centers help you work successfully in every aspect of the ArcGIS framework. With more than 20 resource centers to choose from, you can access web-based help, data, demos, blogs, forums, and code galleries. To learn more, visit www.esri.com/resources. If you'd like to comment on today's podcast, you can email us at editors@directionsmag.com, or you can leave a comment at Directions Magazine or All Points Blog. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.